Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon today is based on the Gospel reading from John 12 and the request, Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Just a note before we begin, when I came into the office this morning and turned on my computer and tried to bring up my sermon file, it told me the file was corrupted. I assume that's the file, not the sermon. But anyway, I couldn't print my sermon out, so what I have today is a few notes that I've jotted down since then, but I trust we'll get by. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming into your presence today to gather with one another and with you. We thank you for the precious gift of baptism that you've given to Jasmine. We pray that you would bless her as she grows into her knowledge of you and your will. We pray for all of us that as we hear your word today, we would be strengthened by it and built up in faith, hope, and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In any given week, as a pastor, there's a real variety of requests that come to you into your inbox, across your desk, into your office in different ways. There's joyful requests like baptisms and weddings and things of that nature. There's more solemn requests like visiting someone at the hospital or even helping a family prepare for a funeral. There's challenging requests. During the week, I got asked to come and talk to a couple school classes to answer their questions about the Trinity. It's a bit challenging. And there's surprising requests too. On Friday afternoon, Mitch and I were sitting here in the office and a foundation student came over and said they were looking for their mum. Did we know where she was? And I said, no, but I can take you out into the car park and have a look. And he said, look, why don't you go out into the car park and wait, and I'll go out the other side. And I said, because I don't know who your mum is, so that's not going to work. I think he found his mum eventually. All sorts of requests come across my path in a week, and I'm sure across yours as well. Today's text begins with this really interesting request. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. That sets the scene for what follows. And I'd like us to look this morning at the request Jesus receives, the response Jesus gives, and the reason Jesus has come. Firstly, the request. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Now, it comes from a group of Greek worshippers at a Jewish festival. So we're in a Jewish city, Jerusalem, at a Jewish festival, the Passover, and there's these Greek worshippers there. So you get the sense to begin with that they're kind of on the outside a little bit, in the minority for sure, at this festival. And yet something has sparked their interest in Jesus. They've heard about him, whether it's the miracles he's performing, the teachings he's giving, something else, we don't know. We just know that they come with this request. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. They bring their request to Philip, who we're told is from Bethsaida in Galilee. So Philip's got a Greek name. He's probably one of their fellow countrymen. He's their point of connection to Jesus. So they come to him. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Now what Philip does with that request is interesting. He doesn't go straight to Jesus. He first goes to Andrew, another one of the 12, and together, eventually, they find their way to Jesus. It's important that we don't underestimate the requests and the questions that come to us because we are perhaps someone's point of connection to Christ. And we might be their only point of connection to Christ. People have questions, they have requests, they have things that trouble them, things that interest them. And you may be the only person for that person who can help answer them or find answers for them. So as Christian people, we should, of course, care about that and care about the people asking the questions and listen to them and take an interest in them and help them find answers. That doesn't mean that we have to have all the answers. Philip gives the impression here that he doesn't really know what to do with the request, so he goes and talks to someone else. Together they go and talk to Jesus. Eventually the request, we think, gets to where it needs to go. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Behind every human longing and heartfelt desire is this one, the need to encounter Christ. And people ask it in all different ways, and they go looking for it in all different places. There's this quote from a Scottish writer that says, you know, that the man who rings the door of the brothel is subconsciously looking for God. We search and we seek and we try to fill our needs and our desires and our interests, and we have questions and we have longings. And at the heart of all of them is this one: Sir, we would like to see Jesus. So what response does this request get? Well, this is what Jesus says. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Now, what on earth does that have to do with the request? Did you wonder that? They come saying, we want to see Jesus, and Jesus starts talking about something else. What's going on? Well, I think what's going on is that Jesus at this point is absolutely focused forward. He's focused on what's coming up. He's focused on what's next, which for him is his death and resurrection. That's where he's heading. That's what's coming. And he's saying to them at this point, there's no turning back. There's no sidestepping. There's no going over here. There's no talking over there. I'm heading to the cross. The grain of wheat falling into the ground. That's, you know, one of his favorite metaphors for his death and resurrection. In other words, if you want to see me, you need to see me here on the cross. If you want to get to know me, you need to know me as your crucified Lord. If you want to really understand me, you have to come and see what's going to happen at Easter, the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's the core, that's the crux. You know, Jesus says, very truly I tell you. And whenever Jesus says, very truly I tell you, what he means is this is absolutely critical and crucial and core and central, and you can stake your life on this moment and this point and this teaching. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears many seeds. Jesus is focused forward. An example that might help us get our heads around this comes from one of the classic films of all time, The Jungle Book. All right, the original Jungle Book. I haven't even seen the most recent Jungle Book yet. But in the original Jungle Book, Mowgli's in the jungle and he's raised by wolves, and you would know the story. And Bagheera's trying to get him to the man village, right? Because that's where he knows he belongs and he'll be safe. So the whole movie is trying to get in there, and Mowgli's resistant and doesn't want to go there and wants to stay in the jungle and wants to have fun with Baloo and all that sort of thing. Eventually, right at the end of the movie, he gets him almost to the man village. And Mowgli sees between the trees this young girl going down to the stream and collecting water. And he notices her, and she notices him, and she doesn't come back. She goes forward. She goes into the village. If he's smart, he's going to follow. And he does. He follows. But the point is, I'm not going back. We're not going into the jungle. That's not the place. That's not where we belong. That's not our place to be. We're going forward into the village. And so Mowgli follows and he goes forward. Jesus says, whoever serves me must follow me. Whoever serves me must follow me. If you're interested in learning about me and getting to know me and seeing me as I really am, it's not going back to where you've been. It's going forward to the cross and the resurrection. That's where you get to know me, Jesus says. Whoever serves me must follow me. For us, this has to do with giving up the way of the world, giving up our self-interest, giving up everything we cling to so much that we think makes life meaningful, and instead clinging to him and trusting that he has meaning, he has purpose, he has joy, he has hope to show us, but it lies on the path through the cross. The reason Jesus came, he says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Should he go back? Should he retreat? Should he sidestep? No, he says, this is the hour for which I came. This is my purpose. This is my destiny. This is why I'm here. It's hard, but this is what it is. Does he say, I'm feeling really good about it? It's all carefree. I'm just defiant in the face of adversity. Nothing can touch me. He doesn't say anything like that. He says, now I am troubled. I am troubled. But this is my hour. This is the reason I've come. You know, don't let anyone ever tell you that your struggles and your sufferings and your problems necessarily mean a deficiency in your faith. They may mean the exact opposite of that. That's what happened to Christ. The way up was down. The way to glory was through the cross. The way to joy was through pain. That was the only way. He said, there is no other. And my hour has come. He was troubled. And he was troubled for us. He was troubled so that we might be relieved. He was troubled so that every question we have could be answered and every request met and every sin forgiven and every shame taken away. He did that for you. And he stands today by the stream, you know, the waters of grace, and he stands there and he says, come follow me. We're going forward. We're not going back into sin. We're not going back into the jungle. We're not going back. We're going forward towards eternal life. But the path is through the cross. Come follow me, he says. It's a good path. It's the only path. Come follow me, he says. Let's pray that we would. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world as our High Priest, Prophet, King, Savior, Lord, and so much more. We pray that you would help us to follow him, that you would help us to see at the heart of the Christian message death and resurrection, and that we would be willing to give up things for Christ, that we would be willing to sacrifice for the gospel, that we would be willing even more to cling hold of him who gave up everything for us. In his name we pray. Amen.